Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Review here on Planet FM 104.6 FM. And if you're listening on planetaudio.org.nz. At the moment, we're just having a few difficulties getting through to Hamish Mackay because we were just going to have a bit of a chat. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what the show is going to be today. We're hoping to get Hamish Mackay to just speak to us about the Rugby Championship, about the Mitre 10 Cup and whatever's happening in the rugby world. We'll also have our usual NRL update with Frank Endicott. Unfortunately, Brendan McNeice's claims that he's crook, I'm beginning to think that he's got man flu, which is a terrible excuse. So hopefully I can try and lead you through the football path. Also, we'll have their panel back. So while we're waiting, I'll try Hamish one more time, and so we'll just put on a little bit of music and hopefully when we get back, we'll have Hamish on the line.
Due to unforeseen difficulties, this program maker is not available now, so we pause for a musical break.
Welcome back. So we just had a few technical difficulties, a bit of excitement here. We've got a new phone in the studio, which I actually is going to be quite exciting when I go to the panel. But on the line, I'd like to welcome to the line one of the best rugby analysts that I've heard speaking. He's a commentator, he's a presenter, public speaker, but also a former winner of the Radio Sports Broadcaster of the Year in 2006 with the other guy who's poked out because he claims he's crook. Good afternoon, Hamish. How are you, mate?
After that introduction, how could I be anything else but a box of fluffies? That was outstanding. You covered the whole gambit. And what's the problem with McNeese? Is he sick?
Well, he never calls you when he's crook. So he goes, "Oh, I can't speak," which is sometimes a very good thing when it falls Brendan McNeese, yes. as you know, by working with him. But he claims he's got man flu. Now I've read in my scientific journals that there is a link between man flu and booze flu.
Yes, you're very close. I think most of the. Like if it was like if you were doing a DNA analysis, it'd probably be about 98% the same.
You're dead right there, mate. Okay, yeah. Hey, how was your weekend, Hamish, to start off things? Obviously, we're having a bit of excitement playing a bit of phone tag, but guess what? We're back onto it, so we're back on to speaking a bit of rugby. The big news, obviously, last week, a couple of big things that came out of last week was Auckland Rugby has cancelled all senior and junior rugby, which it's a bit of a shame. Because I felt my club, Eden, had a really good chance of maybe winning that Gallagher Shield. But the big news would have been the Rugby Championship going to Australia. Obviously, the levels, mate, it was just... I'll say one thing. This possibly could have been held in New Zealand. If anywhere, it could have been held in the South Island. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Hamish.
Oh, well, that all makes good sense, doesn't it? And I think, you know, I can't... You know, obviously there was a great deal of a breakdown between NZR and the government on this, and you know, and as the Aussies often do, they stole a march on us. And will it even go ahead? I don't know. I just thought we were sitting ducks to have it, weren't we? I mean, we could have made concessions for them to be here and not have to train in pods and train together. Look, in South Africa now talking about not wanting to cut, well, you know, what sort of nick will they be in anyway, the world champions. It's just getting more frustrating by the week, and we could have had it. And now we've got Dave Rennie saying that he doesn't want to come here and have 8 days preparation and not be able to run a full team together. I mean, which is just insane, given there's people building golf courses in Northland for American billionaires, and there's all sorts of movie people here, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. The concessions have been made. Why can't we make it for rugby?
I understand that. Yeah, obviously, the health of the country has got to be taken into consideration, but, you know, the cynic in me, Hamish, I'm going to say this, the cynic in me with these levels will believe a week before election that we'll be in level one. Then we'll possibly have the crowds back at Bledisloe Cup test. I'm just saying, I know the health of the nation, but surely I agree with you, Hamish, we needed to actually seriously look at some concessions on this.
Yeah, we did. Look, this is a really hard thing to say, but I'm sorry, but sooner or later... I don't know how many people have died of cancer in the last 6 months, how many people have died of heart attacks, strokes, how many people have died of various diseases and things, but I'm sorry, sooner or later we're going to lift the lid on this. People may well die, but it's few and far between. And I just wonder how long we can keep sort of just shutting things down and shutting them down to the point of no recovery. That is my greatest concern, really. But then again, when you've lost somebody, then you might be seeing it through completely different glasses.
I have to agree with you there. And until you're adversely affected, that's when it does affect you.
Exactly.
Let's talk about a bit of positive stuff. Tell you what, this Mitre 10 Cup, I have never seen, I know everyone's saying the All Blacks are back, but it's not only the All Blacks, it's the Super 12 players who I believe have benefit from the exposure of Super Rugby, Aotearoa, and it's also returning players who had contracts in Europe, in Japan, in the States, coming back and making this competition such a good competition to watch.
Well, it was the premier competition in world rugby to watch, wasn't it? And we promoted it as that for a long time. But I agree, the players have got a certain spring in their step that I don't think has been there for a while. Also, you're not using this time of the year, there's a 40-strong all-black squad plucked out. So not only have you got your top 15 and the seven reserves go, you've got a whole lot of guys that are just not available, or they're resting up for the end-of-year tour and... Oh, it's good to see. I mean, I think one of the real telling things for me was one, and it was pointed out to me by my good friend Doug Golightly, who sent me a picture of this. Long after Northland had beaten Manawatu, Aaron Smith was out doing wind sprints, as I call them, in the older probably shuttles or something, now by himself, having come on as a replacement for Jamie Booth. And I just thought that was fantastic to see, and probably, to, you know, probably showed that, hey, if this is what we're going to be playing, this is what we need to focus on. And so, yeah, look, good footy. I mean, what was Southland getting a win, Waikato seeing off Wellington in a big, big way. Good to see, you know, a photo of the two Barrett boys in their dad's colours. You know, that was good to see. The list just goes on and on and on of good things out of the weekend. Battle or two, rolling Northland and then North and coming back and completely shellacking them in the end. Just good footy all over the. You know, I haven't seen all games yet, but I'll get through most of the highlights and the Otago game. You know, well, they had their moments, but up against a very classy side. And yeah, no, it's good, and we hope the world is watching it too.
Yeah, I was flicking between the games yesterday, between obviously your Turbos playing Northland and Taranaki playing Bay of Plenty. That Tupo Vai, you can see why he was selected in the All Blacks. That man's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, they've recognised something pretty special there, haven't they? And you know how we've had a few young guys, athletic guys, come through, and the one that plays flanker for Hurricanes, and, you know, but this guy, you know, who get the praise for big runs out wide and that sort of thing. It's easily picked up on by the media. But what this guy does in what I call the grunt machine is really impressive. He's an impressive individual, without a doubt. And, you know, the way that somebody like Patrick Tuipulotu has been playing this year, you know, well, there's a future. These guys have, you know, he'll be the heart of our engine room alongside that fella for a while to come.
I believe we've just unveiled a future superstar. You know, I'd like to actually, he's a lock, but I'd love to see how he'd go at number six, because he'd put a lot of fear factor into us. So some of the highlights I thought about the weekend was obviously with the Damien McKenzie's return back to a bit of form, 33 points. His pass, he picked up a loose pass in that game where Wellington were chasing the game at 36-28. Picks up a loose pass, runs 90 metres to score a try. There's some really great things. Of course, the old man, Jason Rutledge, 42 years of age.
Oh, wasn't that a crack up?
It was just brilliant. I was really happy to see Southland win. And I did see little pockets of crowds, which I thought, you know, isn't that great to see? And it was good to see the All Blacks, good to see the bus back and Julian Sevier. Canterbury looked fairly good with their All Blacks. Mwanga made a difference. Of course, a big Shield challenge coming up this weekend, Canterbury Taranaki. Now, that should be a real humdinger.
Well, how long is it since you or any of us in this team of 5 million, how many of us got excited about that? We're all, for wanting to use a better description, getting very, very excited. The thought of the Naki going down there and knocking off the red and blacks, everybody's, you know, or, you know, it doesn't matter whose side you're on, side of the fence you're on, bloody fantastic.
Yeah, and you could imagine that, like, if they had the crowds there, you know, you would have big crowds, like there's going to be some super games, but with no crowds, and this is the environment, the new normal, as they call it, Hamish. Yeah. But I just believe that there will be, hopefully there is a decision where we can get the crowds back, or even if we stay in our level 2.5 and maybe the rest of the country gets a little bit of a breather for them, because believe me, I'd love to go down to Wellington if we've got a better slow cup test there and actually enjoy a weekend in Wellington, because Wellington's a fantastic place to go.
Oh yeah, that Courtney place is not the worst, is it? It's great. Yeah, excellent. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
There's only one person we'd have to avoid who lives down there, Hamish. You know who we're talking about.
Oh yeah,
about.
I know. Old, I've got the man flu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he I really, I'm actually gonna put some. Anyone that lives in the Wellington CBD Mondays to Friday, if anyone saw our football correspondents out drinking, please you can give me a call, or you can try and contact me via the station. Well, no, don't do that because they're busy enough. But yeah, we're trying to. I'm finding it very, very hard to believe. I'll have to let Mr. Endicott know about this. Because he knows Mr. McNeice.
Summerfield, I think. You've got Summerfield coming up later in the show, have you?
I look at it. We've got some real great pros. We have, you know, like yourself, Hamish. You have Summerfield, a pro. You have Mark Watson, a pro. Frank Endicott, a real pro. And then and of course, somebody said, oh, you should get. Then we've got McNeice, and, you know.
Yeah. There's McNeice. Yeah. I hear you. The 2006 Sports Broadcaster of the Year.
I have to say,
yes,
and he could have waited to tell us that. I have to say one thing, Hamish, and it's been really good having you on. Now, I am down later on. I am thinking about bringing you on and the Mad Irishman, and maybe too when the panellists need a bit of a break, Mr. Watson and Mr. Yeah, Summerfield.
I'm available.
Hey, Mr. You won't have man flu. You'll ring up.
You haven't been able to give me a stump a question yet.
Why
doing
not?
Research.
Okay, since 1971, how many test players have came from Wairarapa Bush?
Since 1971, how many test players have come from Wairarapa Bush? Okay, I'll try and get it off the top of my head. Mike McCool, Marty Berry, Andy Earle wasn't playing for Wairarapa Bush at that time. Brett Harvey. I would say three.
I would say four. You got the first three right. The other one was Brent Buck Anderson, who played in the second test.
Was he playing for Wairarapa at the time?
Yes, he was in 1986, in the first test against Australia for the Baby Black, which they lost 13-12.
Okay, so he was out of Wairarapa on that occasion.
Yes.
And okay, so that's four. Can you just check out whether Robbie McLean ever made the All Black squad?
McLean made it but didn't play a test.
Great, so not an All Black. If he played for the All Blacks, if he went on the field, then he is an All Black. But yes, you're right. Very good.
Okay,
we're good, aren't we?
Yeah, geez, I tell you what, we've solved the world's problems anyway.
You've got to say that wasn't too bad from me.
Well, you're actually not that bad. You're actually a superb bloke, Hamish, and I have to admit. Now, what I am going to do is, before we go off here, is I'm going to try and give you a bit of a call. I've been trying to call you this week. So what I'll probably do is that we'll have a bit of a chat. And, of course, we're going to have a few drinky poos for some of the Auckland contributors. I will be giving you a call.
Stand by.
Yes, I will be buying. Mr. Watson, Mr. McCahill, Mr. Summerfield and yourself will be joining yours truly and one of our sponsors for a bit of a knees up.
Like, sounds fantastic. I'll stand by for the invite. Thank you.
Cheers, Hamish. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We'll catch up soon.
Cheers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Hamish McKay. Take me to the I can't forget. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Now it's the NRL part of our program. Sorry, this is we've had a few technical issues before the show, so we're trying to move it along as quickly as possible. The good news is that I'll be doing the football wrap, so we won't be talking, so it'll be very, very quick. So on the line we have Frank Endicott, and we'll be talking all things NRL, former Kiwis and Auckland Warriors coach. Good afternoon, Frank. How are you, mate?
Very good, thanks, Eamon. Lovely day down here.
Yep, and it's a cloudy, overcast day here in Auckland. Hey, let's hope you've had a good weekend. Let's get on to the first part of it, the Warriors Sharks. Really, it's a bit heartbreaking. I really wanted the Warriors to win. Really, the Sharks pack was very good, but an old Warrior tended to, you know, put the nail on our coffin. I think we all know who we're talking about here.
Well, Sean Johnson, obviously, and, you know, I remember saying on the radio when the Warriors let him go that he would come back and bite them, and he has once again. He was the instigator of the Sharks' 22-14 win. I thought the Warriors played well, though. They, you know, they were down 12-0, and they come back to lead 14-12 at the break. I thought there was some good efforts in there. And they tried very hard, so there was no disgrace in their loss.
You're dead right there, Frank. There is no disgrace in their loss. There were some really great games. Obviously, the big thing is the main man of the Warriors, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He is just one of the, you know, he really has led from the front for the Warriors. He's proven why he has been a Dally M medal, why he's been the World Rugby League Player of the Year. His leadership has been superb. I will say something to Warriors fans, not to get disheartened. I believe what the Warriors' efforts have shown has been very good, and I was really impressed. Peter Hicku, really great pass out there to set up that second try.
It was a great pass by Peter Hicku, actually, and you know, he's really come on this year, especially on attack, you know, and played very well, and he's a threat to every defensive line. The fullback, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, is one of the three best fullbacks in the world. Fantastic performer. If all the Warriors played to his level every week, I don't think we'd lose a game.
You're dead right there, Frank. He's just absolute class. I was just getting a bit of disappointment for Warriors fans, but things look good for, I believe, next season we could actually, hopefully Nathan Brown can make a few changes, and we may see a real good effort for the Warriors where we could be contending for that top eight. Just on some of the other games over the weekend, the Tigers versus Souths. Now, that was a really cracking game. Really impressed with Dylan Walker and Damien Cook, but one Benji Marshall, he is just, you know, he's off contract. He's probably maybe going to Super League, maybe retired. The guy is absolute class.
He is, and always has been. Not just a class player, but a class person. I actually backed South 12 and under in this one, and when I was watching it and they went out early in the game, I think in 20 minutes they were leading 20-0, I thought, well, I've lost me bet that they're going to put 50 or 60 on the Tigers. But to the credit of Benji and his teammates, they come back to a two-point loss, and they could have snatched the game at the end. So it was a very good effort by them, and, you know, South, they just need to work on their defence and the second-half performances.
Well, when you have a look at some of the other contenders for that premiership, like your Penriths, your Melbourne Storm, who didn't really have a good day on defence yesterday, your Roosters and your Raiders, their defence is very good. So there were some of the other results over the weekend. Frank, Manly 32 over the Bulldogs 20. Really good performance by Melbourne. Penrith had a good win over the Eels, 20-6. Now, very solid. They've been so consistent this year, Frank. But I have to say, now we come to the crunch time in a few weeks' time. Do you believe that they can go all the way to the grand final?
Oh, look. There's no doubt they're capable, and there's a good chance they might be in the grand final day at the big dance, but they're certainly going to win the minor premiership, and it's a credit to Ivan Cleary. He's got that team absolutely humming, and if you watch them play and look at their body language, they're really enjoying playing together. And that's the type of team that can get into the grand final. They've got a couple of big guns in the Storm and Roosters to get over. I think those two teams are really starting to hit their straps at the right time.
Yeah.
Eels, I think, are going the opposite direction.
Yes.
And I would say the Raiders, whoever draws the Raiders in the first playoff game would be worried.
I would say after watching them on Saturday, I tell you something, they looked brilliant against the Dragons. Jack Whiten, great, fantastic player, has a great combination with George Williams, the English scrum half. The pack really led by Papali, but that pack would be one of the most toughest packs in the competition.
They are, and when you look at the way they play compared with, say, the Storm and the Roosters, who can be very clinical and put good sides away, this side draws them into a scrap. You know, they're a team of street fighters, and that's the game they love. They don't want a free flowing game. They like to get you in the middle of the park and get you into that scrap. And you know, they've got some tough players in there, some tough Englishmen too. You know, Bateman, etc., and Whitehead. Good players, they
love
that tough scrap.
And when we have a look at it, Ricky Stewart, obviously he is, as you've probably known from coaching against him and what was the NRL or the Winfield Cup, he's probably one of the most toughest, grittiest characters to have as coach. The Roosters versus the Knights. Now, the Roosters were, I have to say, blew the Knights off the field. Luke Kearney looked... He looked really good. He's really coming into form now, which smells danger for the rest of the competition. What were your thoughts on that game?
Oh, brilliant performance by the Roosters. And you're right, Luke Carey, he controlled it. He was like the conductor. And everything came off him. I thought he had a brilliant game. Knights were never going to win that game without Ponga. I see they rested him and a couple of others. So I think they're thinking a little bit further ahead to the playoffs. But... Roosters are becoming a serious, serious threat.
They certainly are. Okay, so the Titans had in their Queensland derby, the Titans 18, the Broncos 6. The Broncos look, they don't look that good at the moment. And of course, yesterday's before the Warriors game, the Storm now, they did leak some tries at the end, and I could see Craig Bellamy was not very happy about that, but, you know... Like you, Frank, I really enjoy the way the Storm play. It doesn't matter which side they go, whether you've got a Munster running, whether you've got a great forward pack in the Bronwich brothers, Cameron Smith, Nelson's Solomon Afoa. You know, these guys are really just... These guys look like they could be the favourites for the Premiership.
Oh, they're brilliant to watch. I love watching the Storm. And, you know... I understand how Bellamy's upset because he rides every tackle and every point. And to be up 30 points to 4 at half time, they actually clocked out in the second half. And really, the Cowboys come back and scored 20 points or 16 points in the second half for 20. He wouldn't be happy with that. Those players would get a real roasting and after the game, and there'll be a lot of defensive work done this week, I'm sure.
There certainly will be. And okay, so let's pick our game of the round for the Frank Endicott Drinking Fund, which I've crept up a little bit. What game do you want to pick this week? Because we'll probably give the Warriors a break because, you know, the excitement would have been... But...
You know I was going to take the Raiders, weren't you?
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I know.
What is the... I haven't really looked at the draw for next week yet. You pick a game.
I'm just going to go to my information device now.
My first pick?
Of course it is, Frank, because you're a guest on the show. It's like you're coming into my house. So let's have a look. So here we go. So see more. Here we go. So just give me a second. I believe there's a real cracking game coming up. So I am going to pick... What do you reckon we do the... let's have a look at a real tight one. Why don't we... I was going to say we could do the Roosters Sharks. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go Roosters.
I knew you were going to say that.
you picked the game I had first beat.
Yeah, I know. And we'll, And I'll take the Sharks. Now, what we're also going to do is at the end of, with two rounds to go at the end of this, we're going to make our picks for the playoffs in the next 2 weeks. Also, we're going to pick our Kiwi side. And hopefully we can I'll get you to do a bit more do a bit of your research. You pick your side, I'll pick my side. I don't believe we'll be much different. And we'll have a chat on that.
Look forward to that, Amon. That'll be an interesting exercise.
It will indeed. And, of course, when are you up in Auckland, Frank?
Well, with the COVID-19, not a lot of travelling going on from this end. So it'll be a wee while yet.
Okay.
I look forward to it when I do get up, catch up with a lot of mates and a lot of people.
Yeah, well, you'll be over on Waiheke catching up with the old butcher, possibly.
Yeah, I'd love to catch up with him again.
Yeah, I
know. Spoke to him a couple of times recently, but I always want to catch up with him.
I did send the butcher a bit of a message to say he should be listening to this radio show, listen to you and I. He never got back to me because he's a busy man, St. Peter. But
he's a busy man.
But he knows me and he always calls me a bit of a rat bag when I'm up at his land. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was Frank Endicott. So we're just going to go to a bit of music and then I'm just going to do a quick football score updates for you. And then we're just going to join by a bit of music, then the panel.
Load up your guns and tie yellow ribbon around something. Something good has begun. The boy in the middle, he sits down to pray. He moves to the window. I can see him as he waves. Look out, Mac calls back, Billy, I'll be careful. I'm just trying to be brave. So tie a yellow ribbon around something. Something lives beyond.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just obviously Mr. McNeice is not here, so I'm just going to run through some of the EPL results over the weekend. Arsenal 3, Fulham 0. My brother and the Turtle will be very happy. Crystal Palace 1, Southampton 0. Liverpool 4, Leeds United 3, a hat-trick by Mo Salah. West Ham 0, Newcastle United 2, my old mate Speedy will not be too happy about that. Leicester had a 3-0 win over West Bromwich Albion. Jamie Vardy, 2 goals. Everton 1 over Tottenham 0. Now, Jose may be under a bit of pressure, but Everton also signed Colombian international Jaime Rodriguez, who was a bit of a star of the 2014 World Cup. The game's tomorrow at 5 a.m. There's Sheffield United over Wolverhampton Wanderers, and also there'll be Brighton Hove Albion versus Chelsea. Also, some news out of New Zealand football. The All Whites will be playing England. It'll be a European-based All Whites side. I really hope that some of the American-based players can get over there, so that there will be some sort of competitive game in there. Now also in the Scottish Premier League, I'm just going to some of the results here, because I believe we still have a few. Good win by Hibs, 3-0 over St Mirren. Hamilton 2-1 over Livingston. Celtic supporters will be very happy, especially me old mates at the New Zealand Celtic Supporters Club. Big g'day to McMahon. 5-0 win over Ross Counties. Rangers had a 4-0 win over Dundee. At the moment, Rangers are on top with 19. Hibs are on second on 16, but they've played 7 games. Celtic's on 13, but have 2 games in hand. And in fourth place is Aberdeen on 12 points. US Tennis Open, I'll just go and check to see what has happened there, and that was a There was some Dominic Tilliel won the tournament in five sets in a tiebreaker 8-6. So that looked like it was a brilliant one. So we'll just go and play a bit of music. Now we're going to give our panellists more time today. They're going to get a bit of a shock to hear from me this early, but I'm going to give them more time so that you do not have to suffer the dorsal tones of my moronic voice. So I'm going to play a bit of music. I'm going to make sure that I can, with the excitement of the new phone in the studio, that we can get a bit of I won't muck up the transfer of the call. So just put on a bit of music, and hopefully when we're back we will have our two panelists.
My daddy, he stood at the foot of the stairs. He was calling to me at the time, but I knew even then I could die for the thoughts that I kept in the back of my mind. But I dared not to speak how I felt for my dad, 'cause there were no words to define this ball of confusion, feelings and stuff that I kept in the back of my mind. So I took to the highway, kept to myself, just looking and hoping to find some solutions, some answers, some way to exist with all the stuff in the back of my mind. So I took me a job, and I took me a wife, and I took to a bottle of wine. And it did not take long till all I had left was this junk in the back of my mind. Till I came to the end of the line, and I saw that the light I've been hoping to see was just a spark in the back of my mind. And that cold wind that blew the hole in my heart made a fire for the very first time, from some branches of trust and some kindling of faith, and a spark in the back of my mind. Driving like rain or a runaway train, flying blind, shot from the dark in the back of my mind. Back of my mind, shot from the dark in the back of my mind, shot from the dark in the back of my mind.
Bit of old country music there. Yeah, reminds me a bit of. And those who love country music don't mind the odd bit of country music, but it's always about a bit of whiskey, dead dog, and a heartbreak. But you know, anyway. So on the line, we have our panelists. We're going to give them a bit more time. First of all, good afternoon to you, Mark Watson, head of the Rungo.
Yes, good afternoon to you. Look, Russia is doing Takahe to Akaroa Road Relay, basically from Christchurch to Akaroa through Governor's Bay, been going sort of since 1935, so it was the 80th running. How did it go? Let's just say I probably confused ability with ambition.
Good on you, Mark. Mr. Summerfield, I have to say a very, very good morning and good afternoon to you, and I hope you had a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I'm just feeling a little bit underdone now, guys. I managed to clock up 17Ks of walking and a third jogging, and I feel like I've just failed hugely now, Mark. But it was movement, sir.
Yeah, no, it was movement. Hey, look, that's all we want to encourage, don't we? A lot of movement. Yeah. That's all good. Fantastic. And well done.
Certainly was. Now we might as well, we're going to give you guys a bit more time. I realise that, Mark, you're out in the Mackenzie country in the South Island, so hopefully your coverage can still kick in. First subject of today is the announcement on Friday we lost the rugby championship to Australia. Very disappointing from my point of view is that it could have been held in the South Island, could have been held in Dunedin, Christchurch and Nelson. We could have relaxed a few things, but this is the way things are at the moment. I'd just like to get your opinions on it, starting off with you, Mark.
Well, look, I don't think it was ever going to happen here in New Zealand. As long as you have a 14-day quarantine in place, which is pretty strict in terms of what you can do and can't do. I just don't know how it was going to be feasible, because I would have thought the players on the other side of it then would probably have to have 2 to 3 weeks just to get themselves sort of physically fit and back. And now we can sit here and lay blame on the government, but the government's put a stake in the ground. And no, there was no way that rugby was going to suddenly become the exception to the rule. We'll allow New Zealand rugby a little bit of leniency here. When you've had people who have tried to get back to see dying family, get into hospitals or come back to see people who are terminally ill and haven't been able to do it. So it was never going to happen, and I think it was a bit rich from Jacinda Ardern trying to sort of make out that it was sans our politics. I've got a very close source who said that, the discussions between the New Zealand Rugby Union and those heading up the medical side of it for the New Zealand government didn't go particularly well. But look, I think we should just be pleased that we are probably going to see the All Blacks play. And Australia have demonstrated with the Warriors and with other teams that you can go over there and you can go into your bubble and you can sort of spend your 14 days, but you can still actually stay physically fit. So, look, it is what it is.
Certainly is. Sean, what was your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I'm agree with Mark to the extent that, they've got to stick to the guns and keep the country healthy, but I just don't get why, if it was underwritten to the extent that a team would go into some sort of managed isolation that wasn't at the expense of the country, and they could, have their 3 days and their test, and then they could start training as a squad as part of that facility that was there. Now, yes, I know that would be a bit of a special treatment, but no more so than the people from the movie production being allowed in a few months ago when no one else was. I mean, this is something that's actually helps the country, not just sports fans, but there is, there would have been income and profile and whatnot from it, and it is in November. That's still, 2.5 months away. So I think there was some leeway. I think you're right, Mark, too, and it was weak to say it was sans our politics. It wasn't. But there are ways to manage this, and what they've done now is they've put that stake in the ground. If they move it for anyone else, then there's not as much shame as they're stuffing up the border controls, but they can't move that stake now.
Yeah, and look, and I think too, if you had it opened up to the All Blacks, then there was a lot of arguments for cricket, a lot of arguments, even baseball that I'm involved in, a lot of other sports would be going, hey, hang on a minute, mate, what about us? We bring a lot of joy to a whole lot of a different group of sports fans, and so...
Hey, Mark, I'll just stop you there. I'd be okay for baseball. I'd be okay for bloody petanque. I don't care. If the sport can afford to hire the facility and the whatever resources are required for them to train safely then more power to you. Cover that cost.
And look, I know, Sean, that would be an ideal situation for baseball. I know they'd just love to be able to get their guys in. Let's say as an example, Massey University and their sort of boarding facilities. Remember, the university is closed during that time of the year. Or possibly even have them at North Harbour Stadium somewhere and then have North Harbour as that training ground and have that sort of locked down a little bit. But, clearly that's not going to happen now.
Certainly isn't, guys, and it has been a bit of a shame on this. Now, just over the weekend, I understand both of you were busy and you possibly may or may not. Mitre 10 Cup started, which I know to a famous Mackay early. I've never seen it so much better. And plus, the English Premier League started, and a very dodgy penalty got Liverpool through, Mark. So what were your thoughts?
Well, the rub of the green. I mean, look, people can say, depends on what side of the fence you sit with football, isn't it? Look, throughout the entire season, it's probably all going to come out in the wash in terms of some of those close calls. I'm not a big fan of the whole VAR at times. I think that, the game's not played in slow motion and that sometimes slowing things down doesn't always tell the right story. But look, Liverpool, it was scratchy, it was ugly. A great game of entertaining football, but they got away with it. They got the 3 points. And I think, early in the season, those top teams need to get the win. So from a Liverpool point of view, not ideal, but we got the 3 points. It's going to be, I think the thing that comes out of this is just how well certain teams play with the crowds or without the crowds, and just how much of an impact that is going to have on the actual performance of these sides, because you've only got to see the atmosphere at Anfield. You've only got to see how that crowd at Anfield got them past Barcelona on the 7th of May 2019 to reach the Champions League final, when they were completely written off. Teams like Leicester City play very, very well in front of your home fans. So, a lot to be excited about. Just in regards to, what do they call it these days, the Mitre 10 Cup, I didn't actually get to see any of it, to be honest, because I have been down the country. I'm just excited the All Blacks are back playing. And to be honest, I'd just rather see this be our premier competition. If we're going to go back to having to rely on domestic rugby in some sort of form in this country to drive the game because of the COVID situation, rather than having Super Rugby Aotearoa, I think I'd still rather just have a 14-team Mitre 10 Cup competition with all the All Blacks spread. You know, with Jack Goodhue playing for Northland, Aaron Smith playing for Manawatu, and rather than, being basically mercenaries and just one team top heavy.
Yeah, look, I agree. I'd take it further. I mean, Amen and I both attempted to play Gaelic football years ago, and I look at the GAA in Ireland, and they have similar population. They managed to have two amazing championships of sports that aren't played anywhere else in hurling and Gaelic football, and they're hugely followed, and I can't see why we couldn't make our domestic competition super again. I know that sounds a bit Trumpy, but I actually reckon that when Super Rugby came along, it dropped the domestic championship, whatever it was, NPC, now Mitre 10 Cup, down the pecking order, and it was a bit of a shame, actually. And in some ways, you see the crowds at club games now, and there's a bit of a squeeze, in between. But I hope that this situation, and we see these players coming on and playing for their provinces, and the provinces, a couple of Barrett boys for Taranaki and things like that. I think it's just absolutely fantastic. And the best thing, guys, I spent a lot of years, many years in Southland, and I actually got to play one day in a charity game with Leicester and Jason Rutledge. This is way back in the mid-90s, right?
That must have been a long
Jason
time ago,
Rutledge,
mate.
Jason come on at 42 and get on the field for Southland. Just awesome.
I think, with so many other different sports now available to people, rugby is, I think, we've seen numbers decline for a whole lot of reasons, including the concussion issue. And a couple of things. I mean, if I was New Zealand Rugby, I'd be saying to Sky Television, as part of their broadcasting deal, stop broadcasting schoolboy rugby, start broadcasting club rugby, and also set up a national club championship off the back of, defining the winners in the regions, and so that the club rugby still becomes the stepping stone to higher honours, not schoolboy rugby. And so you've still got that proper pathway, schoolboy rugby into senior club rugby into, might be in some sort of under-20 representative, but then into sort of the Mitre 10 Cup. And so you've got this natural progression. But, you know, we have a small enough population as it is that we do not want to be marginalising large pockets in traditional regions of New Zealand because we think rugby needs to be centred around the main centres. And I think there's a real danger. And I think we're actually starting to see that happen now. We need the depth because, you know, the Northern Hemisphere, taking a lot of our intellectual property from a coaching point of view, they've got the resource, they've got the population. And for us to stay ahead of the game, we need numbers.
I have to say, yep. Mark, sorry, Sean, I was just going to say, when you mentioned about club rugby, I thought, damn, I was actually having a very silent clap there thinking, thank goodness somebody said that. Sorry to disturb you there, Sean. Actually, while we're there...
No, I was agreeing on that. I'll go further. It's not just Sky. It should be more than Sky. If there's a live game on a free-to-air network on a Monday night or something like that, the broadcast unit's not used on a Monday night, how would that grow the game? You know, if rugby was actually treated as a proper sort of prime-time property... And make these players stars and make the game matter. I reckon it would be awesome if they spread that around instead of just trying to make it squeeze in on a pay channel. I reckon if they could afford to democratise the domestic championship. I reckon it would be amazing. As for the schools competition, Mark, let's be honest, it's a great money spinner for them. They get people subscribed to the rugby channel. Yeah, to watch their old school and their grandson play. That's why they do it.
But the schools don't see any of it. You know, really. I mean, you can say, well, okay, I'll go and get a sponsorship, and for that one game a year, we'll try and sort of sell what we believe might be a little bit of connecting that brand with a wider audience. But you know, But it also creates that arms race amongst schools, doesn't it? And the rich get richer. We've seen it in Auckland with St Kennigan's College. We've seen it in Auckland with Kings. And for everything that you put in place, very hard to put bylaws in and around, in and around private schools. And it took the likes of the Manawatu Grammars and the Auckland Grammars, St Peter's College, to all come together and go, hey, Kings, St Kennigan's, we've had a gutsful. We're not going to do
That's
this
right.
anymore. But it, yeah, you know, but the powers to be weren't interested
to what they are.
I'd have to agree with you there, Mark, because there was you have a look at it with St Kennigan's and Kings, and it was like so many scholarships. And I admire the good work which was done at St Peter's and Mount Albert Grammar and Auckland Grammar by a lot of these people that actually said, no, bugger this, we've had enough of you guys taking our players, deciding what to do. Now, Sean, we better have a quick chat about some motorsports.
Yeah, there was some racing. Well, there overnight. No, well, I say there was racing. The Formula One was just insane. They're at Mugello, the Tuscany Grand Prix, Ferrari's 1,000th race. They didn't do that well. They aren't lately, to be fair, but just insane. 12 drivers issued a warning for sort of poor driving standards and nonsense behind the safety car. The race was stopped twice, actually stopped. Just remarkable. But what was really, obviously Lewis Hamilton ran away with it, but it was really awesome to watch Alex Albon, who I think is the first Thai, he's part Thai, the first Thai driver since Prince Bera back in the very first Formula One race to score points, get on the podium. It was just fantastic for him, the Red Bull driver. But just, yeah, absolutely. If you get a chance to watch the highlights of it, some really average driving, but a really cool track as well, that one. And, of course, Scott Dixon, I think in his own words, he made a bit of a rookie mistake, pushing a little bit too hard, 22 laps in, and he spun. And how often do you watch the Iceman make a mistake like that? And he didn't hit anything, but he dropped down to 20th, and then he did his best to sort of fight back. He managed to finish 10th, but it hasn't really helped him. His lead over Newgarden has now shrunk to 72 points. He's sort of been sliding a bit down in the last three races, so we need him to get back in that winning way again. But he is a five-time champ. And speaking of championships, guys, Liam Lawson, who, trust me, you'll know this name in years to come. If you haven't heard it before, lock it away in the back of your head. Formula 3 driver,
had a tough season. In my opinion, the team that's running his car, he's a Red Bull driver, but his junior, but his team that's running his car, there's a few dodgy wee mistakes that I hear are made, and you know, they'll leave a cooling fan in the car and he heads off the track with it still sitting in there and things like that. But he, so he wasn't in the running for the title, but he won the last, it was a very good race. He won the last race of the season. He ran away. They couldn't touch him. So he's finished on a high, and it's his third win of the season. He finished fifth in the championship, and I genuinely think he's on for bigger and better things. Liam Lawson, boy from Pukekohe, and very talented kid.
Okay, Mark. So
I just want to ask a question to Sean, because I said that Lewis Hamilton now has 90 Grand Prix wins. I think he's one behind Schumacher. I'm just down here in the Mackenzie country staying with a friend who's a real motorsport aficionado, and we're having this discussion. He says, look, it doesn't matter how many wins that Hamilton gets, Schumacher's still the greatest of all time, because Schumacher was a genius. Like, he was a driver, but he also had an engineering background. He got the best out of, I think it was Benetton, Ferrari, there might have been one other, I'm just trying to remember the other team that he was a member of, and he took three sort of, car brands, if I can use that word, or factory cars, who were sort of, marginal, and then Schumacher came along and suddenly they were at the front of the Grand Prix, and they arguably ended up becoming sort of, the number one sort of team, and it was very much driven by Schumacher's engineering and his skill set, something that Lewis Hamilton will probably never have. So I guess my question for you, Sean, is how do you define greatness? Is it just the number of wins?
I mean, that is an interesting one. I mean, so with the runner, is it because they know the fine technique, or they win all the races? Look, Lewis is absolutely class. And if he wasn't, Valtteri Bottas would be winning as much or more than he does. And that's always the measure. For someone else in the same car who's racing as hard as they can, then that's your measure. It's really hard when the cars are at different levels. Schumacher, look, he made a great start for Jordan at Spa, ended up over at Benetton, and amazing, amazing driver. He had, the old dark side as well. Things he did on the track, but then so did Senna. Not back in the days when racing could really, really hurt you, and the likes of Stewart and Hill, who were more gentlemen racers. But this is the thing. I mean, how do you compare sort of different eras and stuff? People say Alonso could be a more talented driver. How do you compare the young guys coming through? Look, Schumacher will always have his place, and it's really tough to make a criticism now with the obviously the state of his health. But you're a Schumacher fan, you're a Hamilton fan, you're a Senna fan. That's the difficult thing, because unless they're in exactly the same car at exactly the same time, you'll never really know. But Schumacher was so thorough in everything he did, and that's. And he was amazing with his team. He knew all the guys in the team, all the girls in the team. There was a whole other side to him, and they adored him. And he made Ferrari great again, because before him, they hadn't won since Jody Scheckter in 79, a championship. So he did bring greatness to that team, and that's irrefutable. Then again, Hamilton, he won with McLaren, and then he... Obviously, when Mercedes started, actually Schumacher was there, wasn't he, with Rosberg. They didn't start well, but he obviously knew that the money was there and where this dough, this go. But what makes it tough is some of Hamilton's antics outside the car. You can polarise, and it makes it hard to look at him purely as a driver. But there's no question he's the best driver on the grid right now. And... Schumacher, for a certain era, he was the greatest. Senna, he sort of wins hearts. I don't know. It honestly comes down to what's your favourite colour in many ways.
It certainly does, guys. Have to say, we've got less than a minute to go, and I really appreciate you guys coming on board today. Obviously, the excitement with now, just to give you guys a quick update, we're in level 2.5 for another week, and the country's at level 2 for another week. I've just seen that flash up on the screen. So to both of yous, and thanks so much for both of yous to come on, and we're going to try and give you a bit more time next week, and we'll discuss the rights and wrongs of the world. So thanks a lot, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Evans. Thanks,
cheers.
Sean. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yep.
Okay, that's us. That's a wrap, everyone. Have a great weekend.